You are listening to the official podcast of Salem Tabernacle in Beacon, New York.
A reading from the Gospel of John. John chapter 21, verses 1 through 15. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to him, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast a net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, and they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated this morning. I called up my good friend, you hear me talk about him too many times, Dr. Chris Green, and I said to him on Friday, "I need help for Sunday. I have an emotional attachment to this text, and I can feel in my body what I want it to mean for people, but I'm having trouble structuring it." And I shared with him a little bit about why, and he says to me, he goes, here's what I want you to do. Don't mess up the sermon. And I was like, "Thanks, man. Really helpful when you're nervous and stuff, when you don't know what to do. Like, don't mess it up." Okay. I said, "All right, well, I guess the next question would be, how would I mess it up?" And he said, "By structuring it." He said, "Write 3 sentences down on a piece of paper right now, and then don't touch it until you're standing up there on Sunday morning, and tell everybody that you have an emotional attachment to this text, and you hope to God that they feel what you're feeling, and that you probably won't explain it well." So I said, "I'm going to copy and paste this conversation into a microphone and tell them that." So you just heard that. That's where we are right now. So let's see what happens today. Why do I have an emotional attachment to this text? I spent the vast majority of my life with everybody around me telling me that I was called to be a pastor. Really young, I'm like, cool, that's fine. Preaching to my G.I. Joe guys. Remember G.I. Joe guys? Cobra Commander and all them. Remember even before them, the kind that didn't move, they were just stuck. My grandmother had like a plastic see-through bag that made so much noise when you opened it, and inside were thousands of them. And I would line them up and preach to them. And they didn't move. And the Lord was preparing me for Sundays. Just kidding a little bit. And when you get a little older, it really gets special. And then I turned 15, 16, and was like, I'm going to do everything I can in my life to make sure that they know I'm not going to be a pastor. And I was good at that. By the way, everybody, Bishop Nick Brown from the CEC is here right now. Would you just stand up, please, and... I think they sent corporate to see how I'm doing. I'm not 100% sure. That whole thing about I'm not going to take notes, that was just so that if this goes bad, I could be like, dude, it was the Holy Spirit's fault. That's how that works. And I just spent so many years just saying, I don't want to do this. You all can't decide for me what I'm going to be. And then after a lot of trial, I resubmit again to the calling, and everyone starts telling me it's going to happen. And I started thinking, like, all right, this is what I'm going to do. And so I just kept taking these jobs that I hated, just waiting out the church. And 10, 12 years of being in jobs that I didn't like started to grind on my soul. And I started to get really angry. And this one time, you know, somebody prophesied over me and they said, please understand, this is a true story. I am not making this up. Somebody said to me, you're going to start to see in the next couple of weeks at your job that God is calling you to be a pastor. So it was December. I went to work. I was working down in Katona, and I was doing event planning and office administration at a multi-site daycare center at the time. And I'm like, all right, something's going to happen, and then I'm going to know that I'm getting called out of here. And this one day I got to work, and like there was a whole bunch of family there, and they were doing this Polar Express thing for the kids. And they were like, we have a special job for you to do, knowing all these parents are coming. And I was like, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to rep the daycare center out loud. I'm going to speak to parents. So we want you to dress up like a reindeer. And they already had the costume, which wasn't very flattering on me. I was a little too big in the belly for this. I looked like a sick reindeer. And I was like beside myself. I wish, Frank, you will show it to nobody, but you have a picture of this. I sent one to you. Yes, just send it on up to, dude, whatever. It's around. And it was all funny, haha. But like really, when you're sitting there like God, like I got like an Ezekiel word from somebody. And next thing you know, I'm being dressed up like Rudolph. And then they put me next to the reindeer that came. Why? That's redundant, number one. As an event planner, didn't need to do that. One consoling part of this is when my boss was putting my hoof on. I said, be careful, I'm ticklish, and accidentally kneed her in the face. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than silver and gold. I was angry. I was married. I didn't like what I was doing. I wanted something else. And what happens when you're in a place that you don't like and you're in another space that is the thing that you want, but you don't get to do it, is you start to slowly disdain both spaces. So not only did I start to not like my job, I also started, bye, Naz. I'm better with kids now, so that's a good thing from the daycare center. Maybe that's part of it. I started to disdain both both places. I would come here and I would see every reason why, if they were just doing things differently, they'd be able to hire me as a pastor. And then I would go to work and see every reason why this job was wasting all of my anointing, which is, again, a very narcissistic thing. And then one day, just reading the Bible, I read that verse where after Easter, the day after Easter, Jesus has risen, he's revealed himself to his disciples, he has forgiven people, he's anointed them with the Holy Spirit, and Peter says, let's go fishing. And four other disciples are like, we'll go with you. And it was amazing to me, Jeff, that somebody who has seen the nail holes of the risen Christ would be free to go back to his day job and not think he should be doing more spectacular things, but was content to go to the job that he had been called out of. And it dawned on me that when our fantasies are our fulfillment, we become slaves to our desires. When our fantasies become our fulfillments, we become slaves to our desires, and we miss the beauty of every day that passes while you're waiting to get this fanatical thing you're hoping for. And the people around you know that you're missing the beauty of that. And this verse changed my life, because it was at that moment I said, I'm going to go wherever I go, and I'm going to choose that every day that I don't get to be at a church full time is God telling me, I want you to be a pastor this way for now. And I started deciding, I'm going to go to my job that wasn't paying the bills as a married man, and I felt ashamed of it, and I was embarrassed of it. I decided at that point, I'm going to go, and I'm going to show up with my, I'm going to do the best work I could possibly do. I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to do everything they're asking me to do and more. If you ask me to do a job, I'm going to get that job done, and a little bit more is going to be better when I'm done doing it than in things that you didn't ask me to do. Why? Because I got promoted and I made more money? No, because I realized I'm free. I can go to a job that treats me poorly and do an amazing job, not because they deserve it or I deserve it, but because Jesus said, you can go fishing, you're free to. So whenever I read this, it brings me back to a moment that was one of my many salvation moments. And then realizing now, until you can accept the reality of your daily life, you will never be able to move into more that God has for you, because it will crush you. If you, until you can, and this is for somebody, here we go, I'm just sharing now. This isn't one of the four sentences that I wrote down. I sent Ian my notes today and wrote hi, and that was all that was on the paper. This is for somebody. If you are always saying, I will be more me if I could just move to, God will hold you where you are, because the place he wants you to go will be too much for that attitude. And here's what will happen. You will start asking that place to do too much for you. Because when you get to your fantasy, it's just like anything else. When you get to your dream job, it's just like anything else. There are amazing moments, and then there's tough ones. There's moments where you say, I thought it would be different than this. Life happens in all places. Life goes right in the worst job and in the best job. Life goes wrong in the worst job and the best job. Life goes right when you have no money, and it goes wrong when you have a lot, and vice versa. What we are called to be is free from anything transient or material or anything like that. Guess what? This job is not eternal, because in heaven, no one's going to need pastors. I'm serving my way out of a job by equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. And one day Jesus is going to come back and be like, all right, church, you're hired. Every pastor, you are now fired. And the reality is, there's a freedom that only the resurrection can bring, where you can look at your exact situation as it stands now. There's a reason why Paul and Silas can sing praises unto God at midnight in a jail cell, because they're free. because they're free. Everybody knows the story, right? They sing psalms and hymns, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, and that the prison doors were shaken, and everyone's bonds were loosed. Everyone knows this story? And you've heard me say this before, every preacher ends right there. Because the worst part of the story is the next morning, the jailer says, everyone escaped, because wouldn't you, if the jail opened? Bounce. I sang Fred Hammond and that jail cell opened, I'm out. The jailer says, I'm going to end my life. They're going to kill me. And it says this, it says, and Paul cried out, we are all still here. They didn't leave because they were free. They were free to stay in prison when the doors were open. And that man got saved and his entire household got baptized that day because they didn't use their freedom indulgently. They stayed. That's freedom. Needing to be someplace else, thinking that's freedom, will enslave you. If you don't get it, and even worse, if you do. So they go fishing. I don't care about anything else Jesus did. That is a miracle to me. They just went fishing. Jesus is walking around, walking through walls. And they're like, let's go fishing. Let's go back to our day job. And they go, and this is interesting, and I want everybody to hear this. John lists who went. Peter, Nathaniel, Thomas, and the sons of Zebedee. I want everybody to hear this, please, 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 please. John lists four disciples who made some of the best decisions and some of the worst decisions in the story. Peter, who confesses, the first one to confess saving faith, you are the Son of God, and then the one to embarrass himself and deny Jesus three times, he went. Thomas, the first one to say in John chapter 11, we will go and die with you, also the one who doubts him. Nathanael, the one who Jesus says, in you is no deceit, no guile, from Cana in Galilee. This man is from the place where Jesus' first miracle took place, and yet he's the one who said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And then the sons of Zebedee, who left their father and the business to go follow Jesus, and then later on got their mother to try and tell Jesus that they should be number one and two in the kingdom. These men are going fishing. Every time the disciples have been on the Sea of Galilee, there's been an external storm. And Salem, I want you to hear this. This time, and I want you to put yourself in their position right now, this time there's an internal storm, not an external storm. They're going into this boat with, you ready? All of the excitement you could possibly imagine, all the hope, all the anticipation, everything is on the table. Jesus is alive. And at the same time, they're still cynical. They're still doubting. They're still greedy. And they're bringing this duality. We're so excited, and yet I can't get out of my flesh. He's alive, but why isn't more happening? He's here. Why do I have to go back and do this? And then they go fishing. And it would make sense if the Bible said, and immediately fish just swam into their nets and they became rich. They caught nothing. So now put yourself in their position. As day is breaking, Jesus is alive. He's not doing anything for them, they think. They're deciding to have faith and just go do something. And that thing yields zero. How are you feeling? Jaded? Why are the people who killed Jesus still living better than we are right now? We can see their homes from the Sea of Galilee. At least you could have had something jump into my net here. But no, I'm dressing up like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer today. We've caught nothing. We stink. We're tired. We're hungry. We're going to come back home to our wives and be like Jesus rose from the dead and we're terrible fishermen. That's what we have for you today. Maybe you're in a place in your life right now where there is this glowing expectation that God's going to do something and that light is slowly starting to dim because life is just beating you to death. And they're in this moment, probably not talking, could hear the water like lapping against the boat. This is what it amounted to. I'm torn up on the inside. Is Nathaniel saying, can anything good come out of Nazareth? He can't even help us fish. Is Thomas saying, maybe it wasn't him? Is Peter saying, I would deny him again right now if I saw him. Let somebody ask me right now. Can one of you ask me right now, do you believe in Jesus? I'm going to say no. Are the sons of Zebedee like, I wish mom did a better job? Have you ever been in a low point and gotten emotional and said some very reckless things that were kind of true, but you just rephrased them a bit? On your way to work, I've done this 1,000 times. On your way to work, have you said out loud in the car what you're going to say as soon as you get there? And as soon as you get there, you're like, sure, I'll make copies. I'm going to get there and I'm going to tell them 1, 2, 3, like Desiree, point one, point two, point three. Here's what I'm going to tell you. And then they get there and they're like, you were late. I'm sorry. I need you to make these copies. Anything you say. I need you to dress up like a reindeer. Fine. And then they hear this word. Children. This is the part that I said to Chris on the phone. It's not going to work because I can't think of how to say this any better. And Chris said, here's what you do. Preaching secret. Just say it. I'm like, you are not, you're like quickly becoming second. You're in second place now, Chris. In that state, floating out in the water of your own misery and failure, this is the part that got me emotional this week. Jesus called to them. Don't look at me for anything else. He called to them. He's there. He's with you. He's watching. He knows. And his first word is children. And then his next phrase is the worst. Have you caught anything? First of all, if we did, guy, you won't get any. They don't know it's Jesus yet. But Jesus, who knows they caught nothing, asks them what they caught. You know why? Because there are some times in our life where Jesus is going to say, how are you doing? And you have to say, not good. You have to say, I'm not sure, Jesus, and I'm not sure I want to tell you. You have to put your Christianity on the line sometimes and tell the truth that if you're not okay, you have to say you're not okay. And there is a previous generation of Christianity that has taught us to think that not being faithful to ourselves is being faithful to him, and we've lied and said we're doing fine because we don't want to be faithless, when in reality, he will wait you out until you tell him the truth. How are you really? Honestly, God, this job, my life, it has caught nothing. So don't call me son ever again, guy from the beach yelling at us. Don't talk to me like that. We didn't catch anything. That's what happened. Marriage hasn't caught anything. Money hasn't caught anything. Fulfillment, complacency, being fulfilled, all this, it hasn't caught anything. I'm not content. Cast your net to the other side. I swear. Okay. That's like Chris saying, here's what you do when you don't know what to say. Say something. Thanks, Bishop. No, I wouldn't ask you that because you would tell me exactly what to say. We'd be on the phone for 4.5 hours. Cast your nets to the other side. They do. The miraculous catch happens. And then the miraculous catch happened. John says to Peter, that's Jesus. And Peter puts his clothes on and swims. Here's the thing. He swims away from his catch. He swims away from his abundance. He swims away from his production. Why? Because it's in that moment that Peter knows, if I get attached to what I just caught, I will never be able to swim to him again. So I'm going to swim to him in the face of my poverty. I'm going to swim to him in the face of my failure. Because if I can learn to swim to him in abundance and in poverty, somebody might say one day, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and facing poverty. I can do, say it with me, all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's where it comes from. That's what it means to be free. When you can swim away, when you can swim to Jesus in poverty, and when you can swim to him in abundance. Because here's the thing. None of the disciples could carry the catch of fish by themselves. But then when Jesus said to Peter, go bring me what you caught, he carried the whole thing by himself. You got to read every detail in John. How is that possible that 10 fishermen couldn't carry this net, and then Peter carries it by himself? You know why? Because the only time you'll ever have the muscle to haul in abundance is when you're willing to swim away from it. You want to have an abundance? Be willing to let go of it. Then you can carry it. You can only carry well that which you can let go of. The minute I took this job, I had to let go of it. That's what makes it free. Not having it. Being able to know right now, I don't need it. That's how I can be faithful in it. Because if I needed it for my identity, I would need you for my identity, which means I would be preaching things that made you do things for me. Some of you are having trouble swimming to Jesus in your poverty. Put that one coat you have on and swim. Some of you are having trouble swimming to him in your abundance because, yeah, I know I got this large catch of fish. That's great. But is this going to happen again tomorrow? If I swim away from it now, is that ever going to happen again? That doesn't happen. I got to keep some of it. And what happens? When they get there, Jesus says, bring what you caught and lay some of the fish next to what I already have for you. This is the freest thing of all. You can show up to Jesus with an abundance, and guess what? He already had it himself. You could show up to Jesus completely empty-handed, and he's got something on the grill for you. You can show up to Jesus with no patience. He's already cooking patience for you. You could show up to Jesus with no energy left. He's got energy on the grill for you. You could show up to Jesus completely mentally checked out, and he's got focus for you. Just get to him. Don't think you need another thing. You don't need anything else. You need to be able to swim to Jesus and hear him say, do you love me? And tell him that you love him. That's what freedom is. That's the only thing that freedom is. Freedom is realizing in abundance and in need, I need Jesus to strengthen me to handle either one. We think we need him to strengthen us for abundance. We need him to strengthen us in the abundance because we have to be able to let go of it. Otherwise, it will never let go of us. Your dream, your hope, it's Jesus. It's nothing else. There's nothing truer I can tell you. The thing that will make you the biggest you, the most you, the truest you, is not a thing. It's not a job. It's not a person. It's not a spouse. It's not money. It's not a child. It's nothing other than Jesus Christ. And if we make anything else that for us, we will then expect that thing to do for us what only Jesus can do. And it cannot forgive me of my sins. It cannot bleed and die for me. And it won't. Only he can. And when I can let go of everything and swim to him, he can give me the blessing of poverty. He can give me the blessing of wealth because both will be offered back to him. And it won't rob me of being me. It'll make me who I am. Let's stand to our feet. Ian, we could go to the prayer of confession. One of the ways that we digest what we heard is by praying together. So, everybody close your eyes and take a deep breath. I hope, Father God, that there was something there for everybody here. And now we respond to your word by being unified together. And you know where the first place we're unified in? The very first place that we are unified is in our sin. Look at the person next to you and say, you sin. Look at the other person and say, you probably sin today. Man, we want to be unified in all these glorious things. You know where we're the most unified? Can I get a witness from somebody? You know where we're the most unified? We messed up. Am I the only one? We messed up. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor together, saying, most merciful God, we confess that we've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. May Almighty God have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. And everybody said, amen. Let's confess the faith that saves us together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name, saying together, holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. And after supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me. Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of the faith, saying together, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death and resurrection and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Would you extend your hands with me this morning? Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace, and at the last day, bring us with your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And everybody said, and now as our Savior Christ has taught us, and I want to hear you pray this, we are bold to say together, our Father, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. I'm going to see if Elder George could come and stand over here, and Elder Ron, if you would come and stand over here. You're welcome to come to the Lord's table, receive the bread on this side of the room, and for all of you on this side of the room, and then you can come and dip the bread in the juice here. Would you worship with us this morning?
Thanks for listening to the Salem Tabernacle podcast. For more information about us, including gathering times and our location, check us out online at salemtabernacle.com.